Well, I don't know about you, but when I was young, often before I'd go out with my brothers, my dad would sit us down and say, "Now, when you go out, I want you to behave well and remember that you're a Bentley." And the idea was that if we did something wrong, well, the family name would be tarnished. And of course, my dad needn't ever have worried because we were perfect, and that never happened. Actually, I do remember one situation. Just over the back of our garden, there was this massive house, and it became empty for a while. And somehow we found out that by going up the fire escape through a window, you could get into this massive room with a wooden floor, and you could play football to your heart's content. And we did, until one day, at the window appeared a helmeted figure. He didn't quite say hello, 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 but he might have done. And he wanted to know what we were doing. Jolly obvious what we were doing. And he wanted to know our names. So three times he got the name Bentley. The name was being brought into the kind of disrepute our dad didn't want. We'd never heard anything from the policeman. We just tipped us out. But we've all had that experience, haven't we? I'm sure you've had teachers, you know, who've said to you, "You've let your school down. You've let your teacher down. You've let your head teacher down. You've let the Secretary of State for Education down," and so on and so forth, because of your behaviour. Our behaviour bringing disrepute to the name of others or our own name. As we continue and finish our series in Colossians 3, we read these words in Colossians 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And what Paul was doing for these Christians in Colossae, he was reminding them that they represented Jesus in their daily lives. Now, why does he do this? I'm going to suggest three things. First of all, because of our human failings. Because of our human failings. A couple of weeks ago in the morning sermon series, I was speaking on James chapter 3. About the tongue. And I was pointing out the inconsistency in our speech. With the same tongue we praise our God and the same tongue we curse those around us. And James, writing about that, gave the very emphatic, "This should not be." Those who know Jesus should not be using our tongues to hurt others. But we do. And so when Paul writes here, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus," he writes it to these Christians and through them to us because we don't. We don't do that. And if we're in any doubt that they and we don't do that, if you've got the Bible open, just turn, look over to chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other." These are things that don't fit. They don't fit with us as followers of Jesus Christ. They are not honouring to Jesus. And when we say these things, we're not holding his name in honor. And it's not just what we say. Again, looking back to chapter 3, verse 5. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed." Paul writes about our human failings. Now, friends, if you can look back on today and say, "Well, I've not done or said anything which doesn't honour the name of Jesus," you can stop listening and you can go down to the 1 kilowatt, whatever it is that Peter was mentioning earlier on. But if you have said or done something today which doesn't honour the name of Jesus Christ, please keep listening. And we need to listen, not just because these things are wrong in themselves, but because of the effect. This should not be. Because of the effect that what we say and what we do has upon others and upon the name of Jesus. We know so well that harmful words, the words you and I speak, the wrong things we do, result in discord and division amongst the people of God. And that discord and that division brings disrepute to the name of Jesus. And Paul knew that. And he knew that many of the things that these Christians in Colossae were doing were wrong. Paul had no doubt about them. He knew that they were chosen, holy and beloved. That's what he says there in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's what they were. And yet, he knew that they were sinful people. He called these chosen, holy, dearly beloved to put on love, to let the peace of Christ rule, to let the word of God dwell amongst them. And yet, what they were saying and doing was having the opposite effect. It was destroying that love. It was destroying that peace. It was destroying the wisdom that comes from the word of God. And it does that in every church. And we know this. Often our words, our actions, rather than drawing us together in love and peace under the word of God, do just the opposite. And so Paul writes to them, and he writes to them with this warning: this should not be. That's one of the reasons why he wrote these words. It's a negative. So let's come to a positive. All for Jesus. Again, that verse. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I have to say that my dad telling me to behave so that the name of Bentley was not brought into disrepute, and the teachers saying to me and probably to you about representing your school, it didn't always cut a lot of ice. So when Paul says, do everything in the name of Jesus, do I see that in the same light as when my dad says, do it in the name of Bentley? Well, I don't. I did always want to please my dad. But my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is very different. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's given his life for me so that I might be restored into a relationship with him. He's the one who's come to me, drawn me to himself, saved me, restored me, given me new life. And for that alone, I want to honour him and I want to obey him. But there's more. You see, in reality, I knew that if I did something wrong, something shocking, people didn't say, oh, if that's what it's like to be a Bentley, I'm glad I'm not a Bentley. They just thought I was an idiot. But when people know I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and I do something shocking, I know that Jesus gets bad press too. It's not just me they call an idiot, but they also say, and if that's a Christian, that's not for me. And so here is the difference between listening to my Father and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, in that I want other people to know the love of Jesus. It's a matter of, it's a matter of life and death. I want my life to be consistent so that it speaks to others about Jesus. So that I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he is glorified in what I say and what I do. Paul wrote these words to these Christians to encourage them, to make sure that in every way possible, they presented Jesus to the people around them in the positive light. Just look at what Paul says. Again, look at that verse. I'm going to read it again, just once more. Okay? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. Now, you don't need me to explain that. For a while it was fashionable, wasn't it, to have those what would Jesus do bracelets. The idea of always being aware that I'm asking myself the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? And that's what we should be doing. We should be asking ourselves, will the Lord Jesus Christ be honoured and glorified through what I'm about to do? And if not, then let's not do it. I love reading Christian biographies. Some of the things that people have done is just amazing. The way that people make huge sacrifices and even give their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, what we do is not about such big things, such grand gestures. Paul here is talking about the myriad of small things. The small things we may do for someone else. Little things that are included in the words of Jesus. Whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Those small acts of kindness, of generosity, which are done out of love for others because Jesus loves us. These are the things which should define us. These are the things which, as people see them in us, should bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been privileged over the years to do many funerals for Christian brothers and sisters. I remember doing one where I was told about a person, and I quote, "He was a real gentleman, kind and thoughtful. I understand on coming into a church service, he would look for someone who seemed to be on their own and then sit with them. He was generous with hospitality, time and finance." His life spoke of Jesus. But all small things, all done because of Jesus. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, it's not just what we do. It's what we say as well. And again, the question for us is, does what I've just said honour the Lord Jesus Christ? Does what I've just said honour the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, none of this is rocket science, is it? It's stuff you all know very, very well indeed. And yet, as we were seeing in James a couple of weeks ago, so often our tongues run away with us. And we've said things before we even really put our brain into gear. And so often we regret what we've said. Often what we say does not honour the name of Jesus. I find the words of an old hymn about prayer very poignant. And the words go like this. "Have we no words," that is to pray. "Ah, think again. Words flow apace when we complain and fill our fellow creatures' ear with the sad tale of all our care." And we know how easy we find it to moan, to complain. We're English, after all, many of us. And that's part of our DNA, I think. But we do. We use our tongues in such a bad way. Friends, we know the problems we have with our tongues. And how often we say what we say does not honour Jesus. And again, people hear us, remark on it, and say, "Well, if that's a Christian, then that's not for me." And because our tongues are so unruly, and because our desire, I hope, is to honour the name of Jesus, our constant prayer should be those words from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our desire, our resolve as followers of Jesus Christ should be to act and to speak in Jesus' name, so that Jesus is glorified, but also so that others are built up. And the three things we've been looking at so far, if we are going to love each other, then our words should be words that build each other up, words which help and encourage each other. Our words, if we're going to have peace together, will be words of reconciliation, words of forgiveness, words of understanding. Our words, if we're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom, are going to be shaped and molded by the word of God. Our desire, our resolve as followers of Jesus should be to always act and speak in the name of Jesus, so his name is glorified. And then the third thing is giving thanks to God the Father through him, right at the end there. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, I think giving thanks is a great guard to what we do and what we say. I can't thank God for the opportunity to rubbish my brother or sister, can I? I can't thank God for the opportunity to serve my own interests. I can only thank God for the opportunity to serve my brother or sister, the opportunity to speak words of encouragement to my brother and sister. See, to give thanks, in a sense, takes the emphasis of me and my concerns, and it recognises the greatness, the goodness, the faithfulness of my God. In my thanks and in my praise, I honour and glorify the name of Jesus. And I give his name the honour that it deserves rather than bring it into disrepute. So Paul was reminding these Christians that they represented Jesus so that they wouldn't bring his name into disrepute, rather that all that they said and did would honour and glorify him. And he did that so that there might be the result that Paul desired. Because what Paul wanted for these Christians, this small church in Colossae, was that they would be a wholesome church. A church where the word of God dwelt among them, so that their love for each other would grow, and so that the peace of Christ would rule in their relationships, and so that through everything, Jesus Christ might be glorified. He wanted them to be a wholesome and a life-giving church. And that's where we began 4 weeks ago, looking at these verses from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. By asking that question, how can we be a wholesome and life-giving church? And over the weeks, we've looked at those four injunctions that Paul gives to them. To put on love, to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts, to let the word of Christ dwell among them, and today, to do all in the name of Jesus. Friends, in a moment, I'm going to stop talking. You'll be pleased to hear that. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Next Sunday, God willing, we begin a new sermon series looking at Jesus, who in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, is described as the final word. The danger of that is that we forget this sermon series. We tick the box, we've done that sermon series, and we forget it. And yet I believe that these words are very important. They're very important to us as a church. I think they're very important to every church, but I think they're very important to us as a church at this point in time. Now I recognise that many of our congregation have not heard the sermons. And for those who have heard the sermons, well, we don't always remember what we've heard, do we? But now as we look at these verses, Colossians 3, 12 through 17, and again as we ask the question, how do we build a wholesome church? Where we put on love, where we let the peace of Christ rule, where we let the word of God dwell among us, and we do all in the name of Jesus. I ask, how? How do we put that into practice? How do we put that into practice? How do we do that as a church? How can we avoid walking out of here and leaving all that behind and the church remain just as we were before we started this series in October? I'm going to suggest a few ideas. I'm not necessarily going to make all of them or any of them happen. But in case they resonate with you, and in case you can put them into practice yourself. The first is we can discuss these ideas in our home groups and see what comes out of it. The second point is a suggestion is we could on Sundays regularly come back to these points, remind ourselves of them, and as it were, hold them up as a template, asking ourselves if this is what we're doing, so that they become built into the fabric of our corporate life together. We could be praying about these points, both on our own and when we're together. We could look to the new coordinators who've been appointed to help us remember and action some of these things in their different areas of ministry. We could organise times when we come together socially so that we can grow in love and fellowship. I don't know. These are some things that you may have other thoughts. I hope you have. And if you have, talk to me about it and talk to yourself about it over coffee. 4 weeks ago, I began by suggesting that it's not uncommon to hear of dysfunctional churches, unhappy Christian communities with struggling Christians. I said then, and I repeat it now, I don't think our church is dysfunctional. Thank you to the hard work of the staff team and to those who've committed themselves to our church. But I would say we are unhappy. Because no one who shares in any aspect of the heart of God can be happy with where we're at the moment. And it's in the light of that that we've looked at these words from Paul, which I think do give us a framework for a wholesome church. And friends, my prayer, my desire is that these words would have an ongoing effect in the life of our church and that through them God might build here a wholesome and life-giving Christian community. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we don't always like what your word says to us. As we hold up the word as a mirror to our lives as individuals and as a church, we don't always like what we see. And yet your word is truth. Father, thank you for these words in Colossians. Thank you for the love and the passion with which Paul wrote them to this church, wanting this church to be a wholesome church, as he wants every church to be a wholesome church. And Father, we long for our church here to be wholesome, to be life-giving. So Father, as we reflect both now and later on about these words, about Paul's encouragement to us to put on love so that that rules over everything, to let that peace of Christ rule, that is, have its way amongst us, to let the word dwell amongst us so that in everything Jesus Christ might be honoured and glorified. Help us, Father, to want that. Help us want love and peace and the word in our church and to see Jesus glorified in all we do. And then help us not just to want it, but to see how we as individuals in our home groups, in our church meetings, can put these things into practice. And we ask this for his name's sake. Amen.